Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, and we are down to the 23rd verse. Now, we had studied previously in this chapter that the Lord was bringing great rebuke, really, against a people who had said, "We have made a covenant with hell. We are in agreement with hell and with death." In other words, they had just literally signed up with the devil. It seems like that's going on right now. It didn't just happen back in the days of Isaiah, but it's happening now also. And of course, they make trouble for themselves when they do that. And when Jesus came and when he died on the cross, he not only established a new covenant, but he disannulled all the covenants with death and with hell. What I'm saying is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is greater than all the conspiracies of this world, all the witchcraft of this world, all of Freemasonry, all of the things going on in darkness and in secret, that the power of the redeeming power of our God is greater than all of that. You see, we look around on every hand and we see what looks like victory for the enemy. But as we study, not only in chapter 28, but primarily in chapter 29, we're going to see those are all hollow victories. That in reality, the only victory there is the salvation of our souls and the gaining of heaven. Amen. To be in the kingdom of God means everything. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So where we left off, we're finding the Lord saying in the 23rd verse, "Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech." And of course, that's the first hurdle, isn't it? For people to even listen. Had you noticed that if you ever tried to talk with people and you know they're not listening, their mind is 100 miles away somewhere? Yeah, it happens all the time, doesn't it? They're tuned into a different station. They're listening to something else. They're totally preoccupied. I see a lot of people smiling and nodding. Yeah, right. How do you get their attention? You see, the Lord is saying here, "Give ye ear." Amen. "And hear my voice." Hearken. He's making an issue out of it, isn't he? "And hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cummin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him." Seems like when you want to plant something with the expectation of a harvest, you have to prepare the field, right? And he's saying that this is something that people who farm have to learn. And they learn it very quickly. Some people grow up learning it. But he's just saying here that this is the way it is when you work with a field. And so it is in the spirit when you work with people. This whole world is a field, isn't it? There are many analogies that the Lord uses. Sometimes he refers to all of humanity as a sea or an ocean. A sea of humanity. Sometimes it's a field that he will call our attention to, that this whole world is like a field that needs to be prepared and harvested and so forth. And he's saying that just as it is there, so it is now spiritually. And it says in verse 27, "For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument." See, he's getting into the realm of the spirit here. You don't go and harvest souls with a threshing instrument. "Neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cummin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cummin with a rod." Of course, what he's referring to, well, let me read the rest of it and I'll come back to that. "Bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen." And verse 29 qualifies all this by saying, "This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." He's showing us here that in harvesting, in living in a time of harvest, such as we live in now, that just as after you gather the harvest in, there's trouble with it, so there will be trouble in the last days. This is a prophecy. And he goes on with another analogy, saying, when you take the grain, you don't just use it as it is, but you have to beat it. You have to work it into flour. And he's talking about the corn being bruised and the cartwheels running over it. They used to do it that way sometimes. Anyway, to mash up the grain to get the flour. Which is kind of interesting, because he's saying that if you take the analogy and carry it out, in the last days, there is a harvest, is there not? It's starting to look pretty slim. These are the very last days, and there are still people out there that will hear. Every so often you run into one. It's still a harvest. One soul is a harvest. And sometimes trouble has to come to get the attention. Notice he said, give ye ear. As long as things are smoothly running in people's lives, they'll forget God. They won't think about the Lord. They'll be busy doing what they're doing. But let a little trouble come into their life to get their attention, and suddenly the Lord has their ear, right? Things aren't going well, and suddenly they're ready to listen. Isn't that how it is? If life is too easy and everything is too good, people quit praying. They quit reading their Bible. They start giving way to the pleasures of sin, which are only for a season. As a result of all that, watch what happens in chapter 29. He starts out by saying, woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year. Let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. You might say, what is Ariel? Is he talking about electronics here? No. Ariel means the Lion of God. It's referring to the city of Jerusalem and referring to the people of Old Testament Israel. As I've often pointed out, Israel today is Christianity. There is no other Israel but Christianity. You understand that? Amen. Don't be deceived by the mystery of iniquity. The Christian church, the people of God, are Christians. And if people are not Christians, they're not the people of God. Let's get a little participation going here. How could it be any other way? Amen. We are called by His name. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. All of that happened because of Jesus Christ and not because of anything else. And there is only one people of God, one family of God in heaven and on earth, all named by the same name. Now, he's looking at the people of Jerusalem. He's looking at that Old Testament city, and he's saying he's going to afflict it. Why? Because people have turned away from truth and listened to the voice of a mixed multitude within. I'd like to read a little farther and then cement that thought. And then we're going to look at some things a little more in depth here. He said, yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. And thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground. And thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Now, what had happened in Israel, as they began to seek after those that had familiar spirits. They began to observe heathen holidays. They had backslidden. They had gone backward and followed the trends, the fads, the fashions, the ways of the world. That's always dangerous, because the world is not going the direction we're going. What did the Apostle Peter say, and how did he warn us? When the people said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In Acts chapter 2, what did he say? Repent. That's the first step, right? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." A generation that is untoward. They're going the wrong way. And it distresses me to see so many people that claim to be Christians following the way of the world. You're going the wrong way when you go that way. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Ask for the old path wherein is the good way, and you'll find rest for your souls." Otherwise, there's destruction. This nation has gone into deep occultism. And it's because the leaders of the country and the leaders of the churches and of government and all these people are involved in a clandestine conspiracy to bring everybody into hell if they can do it. But Jesus said, "My kingdom's not of this world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Our God has put a difference between his people and the world, and they can't mix together and have it come out good. "Choose you this day whom ye shall serve." If the Lord, what did Isaiah say about this? We'll read on in a minute. What did Elijah say about it? "Choose you this day whom ye shall serve," is what Joshua said about it. All these people called out these warnings. Amen. Come out, be separate, don't join the system. I think that's what we're reading right here. Otherwise, the depth of it all is the fact that you'll all end up in occultism. A voice as one that hath a familiar spirit. There will be spiritual happenings all the way through to the end. There is another spirit other than the Spirit of God. There is another Jesus other than the one that is preached, a false Antichrist. Remember how we were warned of that by the Apostle Paul? We need to take that warning. Now, because the people had ventured off into the realm of the occult, trouble plagued them continually. And this is all warned, we are forewarned of this by Isaiah the prophet. Verse 5 says, "Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers." See, here's the problem. God said, "Rid me of strange children." People who have a voice that sounds Christian, but their actions show that they're not. "Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers." What happened when Israel left Egypt? A mixed multitude followed them. There's always an infiltration. There are always a people that are bent on serving the devil and dragging everybody down with them. "Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire." I think these things have been going on. And I think we're going to see a lot more of them. Especially if our current president becomes the president again. I'd mentioned last night in the prayer meeting that we're talking about, somehow the subject came up, talking for a few minutes about Hillary's health plan. Socialized medicine, that's how it had come up. Socialized medicine. And we recalled, I remember specifically how Bill Clinton stood there with that medical card there, that socialized medicine insurance card, and he was trying to sell this. He became an insurance salesman for a little while. Hillary was sitting out there. They put the cameras on her, and she was all glittered up and dolled up. And, you know, she's the anti-Cinderella that married a pumpkin, you know, Hillary. And she was sitting there and she was just smiling, and Jezebel, absolutely Jezebel. Bill was up there, a puppet. You could almost see the strings attached to his wrists. Now, this happens to you, you're covered. This happens to you, you're covered. He has a raspy voice because his cilia and his nose are all burned out from cocaine. See, word had leaked out from Walter Reed Army Hospital that that's the reason why he won't release his medical records. Bob Dole did. He released his. Ross Perot, of all people, released his. But Bill Clinton said, I absolutely refuse to release mine. And word had leaked out from Walter Reed Army Hospital. There's always somebody in there, you know, in medical records. They'll say, oh, this is hot stuff. And it just kind of leaks out. But all the cilia in his nose are literally burned out. And he's had problems with his throat. It's because of the cocaine. He doesn't inhale. He snorts. Remember, they asked him if he ever smoked pot? He said, yes, but I never inhaled. Now, why would anybody do that? He would have been better off just saying, yeah, I did. I mean, that's so dumb that, you know, he just made himself look like a real fool. Strangely enough, the one who looks so much like a real fool, according to the polls, if you can believe it, I don't trust the polls anyway. I think it's just another Polish joke. But I think that if you look at the polls, they're saying, oh, he's 20 points ahead, he's going to be reelected. I make no predictions because I don't know what God's going to do, and I believe it's in his hands. But if this man gets in again, one of the first things that's going to happen is he's going to push that socialized medicine program. And he will be a lame duck. He won't care because he can't be reelected after he's reelected once. He won't care. He won't care what he does. The man is an absolute puppet. Full of devils. There's no question about that. You can see by his actions. What did Jesus say? Judge them by what? By their works. I don't listen to what he says. I watch what he does. And what he has done is of the Antichrist, as sure as I'm standing here. And if we got another 4 years of him who has a curse on him, this nation will find a greater curse upon itself. And that's what we're reading about here in Isaiah right now. You talk about a beaten down harvest. But the Lord says that's the way it becomes good. Remember in Revelation, the church of Smyrna was commended by God? And what does Smyrna mean? It comes from the word myrrh, which has to be beaten before the beautiful fragrance comes out. When the people of God are beaten down, they rise up. They rise up in prayer. They rise up in power of faith. And the delivering hand of God comes in and intervenes and changes the whole thing. But most Christians, if you talk about a little trouble, they run for the nearest hiding place to get away from it. We need to stand up and face it, amen, and fight it. Now, I just wanted to mention, if he gets in again, just look at all the people who have associated themselves with him, they die. He's a kiss of death. He really is. How would you like to be in the military and have somebody say, okay, you're a helicopter pilot. You go and escort Bill Clinton. You're going to escort the president today. It used to be an honor to do that. Two helicopters down in Florida recently were escorting him. One had to make an emergency landing. Another one flipped over and burst into flames. I mean, every time somebody's connected with this guy, they die. So I'm saying that if people look at all the evil he has done, this partial birth abortion, how he said in good conscience he could not oppose that. In good conscience? From a man who has no conscience? A man who is unconscionable in all of his actions? You know, where they take, you know what it is. They kill these babies as they're being born. Oh, it's terrible. How can this man, who could have stopped that, how can he sleep at night? But he sleeps very well because he has no conscience. He is given over to the devil. There's no question about that. When I say sleeps very well, I want you to understand it's the worst for him. He's a walking dead man. Now, Isaiah went on, and I want to show you the victories that they get are hollow victories. We're coming to that right now. The Lord promised there would be a devouring fire. There would be earthquakes. There would be great noise and storm and tempest. Remember the record-setting hurricane problems and number of hurricanes, the fires out west. The earth has been quaking and will quake all the more. Just wait till after the re-election. We are approaching the year 2000. We're down to the wire. I don't know how long it's going to be, but great and amazing things from God are going to happen. And if you're on His side, you shouldn't worry about it. Amen. Verse 7 says, "And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel." Now again, I want to qualify this. The type in the Bible, a type and anti-type. In other words, the pattern, the example. Ariel here answers to the Christian people of our day, you and I. But we can't let the occultism creep into our lives. We can't let the evil come into our lives. We have to be set free by the power of the blood. You see that? Otherwise, we will be afflicted. "And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition." And of course, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. "And that distresser shall be as a dream of a night vision." Now, watch what happens. The enemy that opposes you in all of their chicanery and all of their trickery and all of their conniving that they do conspiratorially. Watch what happens with their victories. "It shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth. But he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh. But he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion." And here again, the Christian people is what that answers to. Not the phony, bogus Zion of today. That has nothing, a 42nd cousin relative, to do with this. Understand that? There's only one true Israel. I say again and again and again. But notice what he's saying here. People that fight against us really don't have a victory. It's like when somebody is starving. They're hungry. They fall asleep. They have a dream. They're eating this big meal, big table, all this stuff to eat, and it's a dream. They wake up and it's not there, and they're hungry. And night after night, the same thing. Or they're thirsty. They're parched. They want water. And in the dream, they're drinking water, and it's running down their face, and they're drinking all this water, but they wake up, and it was just a dream. It wasn't real. Hollow victory. All that they hope to accomplish will fail. Because God's not with them. A week ago, we were at the United Nations building. A little over 8 days ago is what it was now. And there they have a scripture verse written about beating the swords into plowshares. Sounds good, doesn't it? In fact, Ronald Reagan, with the help of his wife Nancy, had put a plaque up in there. It's kind of it's very well done artistically. But it says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." You know, the golden rule. Oh, by the way, that's not the way it's written in Scripture. That's the way it's paraphrased. You knew that, didn't you? But they have all these different things about peace, peace, peace. But I pointed out to the guide that was leading us, this German girl, this tour guide, I pointed out to her that it was stipulated in advance in the UN Charter that there was never to be a mention of Jesus Christ. Now, how in the UN? How can you have peace when you have expelled and forbidden the Prince of Peace to come in? It's futile, isn't it? It's like that dream, that elusive dream, where in your dream you have all the success, but you wake up and you have nothing. It's all a dream. And so it is with everything that they're doing. We had quite an interesting time at the UN. We walked through the big iron gates. Police were all over, checking everybody because of all the trouble over there. And in Palestine. All the problems going on between the PLO and the Israelis. And so they were checking us. They checked our backpacks and looked through everything. Then we still had to go through the metal detector, and then we still had some of us checked with the wand. And they were being very, very careful because they thought somebody would like to come in and bring a bomb in here, see, because of all the trouble. Of course, they had surveillance cameras everywhere, even on the streetlights outside in the regular streets. They had surveillance cameras to watch everybody. And we went through those iron gates and were checked and went inside. And they said the only way we could see it, see the inner chambers and so forth, would be if we paid some money. Of course, Arnie was very quick to tell them we already paid it in our taxes and we didn't even want to. They just extract that, paid that many times over. They ought to wheel us through there in a special chair, you know, for the money we paid for that. But anyway, this tour guide took us in there. We had to pay $13 a couple. I thought that was a rather interesting number. And then our tour number was 36, which is six sixes in numerology. I thought, well, this is apropos. This is about right. So we're standing waiting for to get in there, and there was a police officer standing there. And I noticed his arm patch had the world from the top view. You know, you've seen the UN logo. It's the world looking down from the ultimate north. Remember one called Lucifer said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Huh? I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So they had that that arm patch on these police officers. So I walked up to this officer and said, what kind of a police officer are you? What is your jurisdiction? He said, we are world police, United Nations police. He said, I have arrest powers. I can arrest anybody, anytime, anywhere in the world. You didn't know you had those kind of people, huh? Or did you kind of think so? Those were his words. I can arrest anybody, anytime, anywhere in the world. He said, I was over in Brussels, now I'm here. And he had his sidearm there. And I said, could I take your picture? And he didn't really want me to at first, but I said, why don't I just go ahead and take your picture right now and click the camera and click. So I got it. So I can show you the pictures of this, the world police that are out there. And as we went into the tour, our tour guide from Germany, very, very nice young lady, but very hoodwinked, very brainwashed, she said, the first thing I have to tell you is when you walk through the iron gates, you are no longer in the United States. This territory belongs to the whole world, to all the nations of the world. It's all one world here. See, what that is over there is a seed, a little seed that was planted. They want the whole world to become one, to grow from that seed of the UN. So that it's that way you've got one world police, one world army, one world navy, one world religion. And, of course, weapons are absolutely forbidden. Out in the front, they've got a pistol, a big statue of a pistol with a barrel tied in a knot. And all the way through the whole tour is peacenik, peacenik, peacenik stuff. Peace, 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 peace. Right. And the problem with all that is they can't have it because they've thrust the Lord out. They had a large picture. And these pictures turned out real well, too. I don't know if you can call it a mural or what it was, but it was on a large wall. And it showed the world, kind of a cutaway view of it. And there was a man hanging a plumb line down from the top, and there were all these workers rebuilding the earth. See, God didn't make it very well, so the masons had to rebuild it. All the Masonic tools were there. It showed all of these workers rebuilding the world into one world. And of course, we couldn't go in the Security Council chamber because they were meeting. They were in session because of the things going on in the Middle East. So while we were out there, I just fired a lot of questions at this young woman. And she didn't know a lot of the answers. She knew very few of the answers. I don't know, maybe they weren't good questions. I asked her about the military secretariat, the military. She said, that's all voluntary. That's all just nations volunteering. Of course, it's always the United States that volunteers, right? But I asked her about that, and she said, there is no military secretariat. There isn't any. And I said, then why is it that in Trygve Lee's book, now Trygve Lee was the first Secretary General of the UN, in his book For the Cause of Peace, why did he mention that a Russian would always be the head of the military secretariat if there is no military secretariat? She said, I don't know about that. It's like the Masons when you corner them. I don't remember that. No, I never did that. But what does their oath say? Always conceal and never reveal. Right? Keep it in the dark. It's real convenient, you know, and they feel like they're doing a noble thing. You can lie if you don't have a conscience, if you're not serving God. You can lie to protect the greater good, you see. The end justifies the means. And I don't know if she didn't know or if she was covering it up. I'm not sure. She seemed honest enough, but sometimes she was getting a little rattled. She spoke four languages fluently. I only speak two, so I was talking to her in German and English, and I was right at her heels all the time, away from the others, just asking her one question after another. I asked her about Michael New, you know, the guy who refused to serve the UN. And I said, can't you understand why he would refuse to do that? Oh, no, no, no. You know, just always negative when it came to things like that. But in walking through there, you could feel a stifling, eerie, weird spirit through the whole thing. And when we went into this social engineering chamber that they've got, she was telling about the, this is where they meet, this is where we help everybody, you know, with their health problems, and we make resolutions and so forth. I said, oh, this is the area where you... You deal with population reduction. And then she started talking about all the immunizations and things that they do. Well, that's one of the ways that they reduce the population. They immunize everybody and shoot these things into them so they develop AIDS later and all these hidden things in these vaccines. And you go over to China, for an example, or you go over to Dominican Republic or one of these target areas, and all of a sudden there's a big AIDS outbreak right after they've been there. Or shortly, you can time it. Or some other outbreak. Some disease that will wipe out hundreds of thousands of people that are either wiped out or on their way to being wiped out. But it's all for the greater good, you see, because they have to reduce the population. They got to kill a lot of people so that Mother Earth is not overburdened. That people are a blight and a plague upon the earth. That's the way they look at it. We went into the general assembly chamber, which is set up like a temple. It's got all the spokes of the gold spokes coming around all the way around. You've seen pictures of it. If you look straight up, it's as if someone is looking down on them. The prince of the powers of the air. And down on their pulpit, I call it, their podium, there was a flickering light. Looked like a candle burning. I thought, that's really unusual. So I asked the guide about it, and she said, we don't know what that is. We're going to have it checked. We were kind of glad to get out of there. We went out, and we sat down outside, and we looked up at that big blue UN flag. They had pictures in there with the United Nations operations going on, the soldiers with the blue helmets, the UN helmets, and the helicopters flying around and stuff, and we just thought, this is really something. We're going to get out of here and we're going to pray. So we went out in the courtyard and we called the power of God down against that place. That the Lord would judge that place and send his swift sword against it. And I'm believing he will. Now, I don't want to be around there when it happens. Because when that monstrosity comes down, the Bible says the cities of the nations fell. And when you look at Manhattan Island, which is 13 miles long and 2 miles wide, and has over 900 high-rise buildings, when it comes down, all that glass and wood and stone, and comes crashing down, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near it. And what are the people out in the water that are out in the ships when they see it happen? What are they going to say? Alas, alas, great Babylon. Yeah, by means of that city, they became rich. It was really something Friday late in the day, and then on Saturday when we were looking around there, all the jewelry shops were closed. And when the store is closed, you know it's closed. Because this huge steel gate comes down. It's not transparent. It's got graffiti written all over it. But they drop these things from above, and it hides the whole front of the store. There's nothing left. It's just a straight wall of metal all the way along the street. Because if there was an exposed window, they'd be in there in a minute at night. It's a very Jewish city. There are a lot of Orthodox Lubavitchers and high rabbis and so forth, and a big temple there. A lot of Antichrist activity going on there. We rarely heard anybody speak English anywhere. There's almost always some other foreign language or a very broken English. No matter where you would go, I have never seen anything like it. But what we have there is a cultural mix, an Antichrist spirit at work. And they may think that their great buildings and their great banking and so forth is going to solve all the problems. But it is the problem. It is of itself the problem. And when we walked up to 68th Street, we're up in Central Park, went over to 68th, walked down to building number 58 68th Street. There it was, the headquarters for the whole conspiracy, the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, which is another name for the Illuminati in the United States. We walked in there, I asked the receptionist, could I take a picture in here? Oh, no, you can't, no cameras in here. In fact, we don't even allow the press in here. Nobody comes in here. Why? What are you hiding? She said, this is a private organization. It's a private organization that Bill Clinton belongs to, that Al Gore belongs to, that David Rockefeller belongs to, and all these other conspirators, all these names of people pulling all of these shenanigans all the time, they belong to that club. That makes that club suspect. Well, we couldn't get in, we couldn't take a picture, but we took a picture outside of the two lions guarding the door. And we stood back across the street, and took a picture of the front of the building, and then we had prayer against that, the same kind of a prayer. Lord, send judgment on this place. Amen. And I believe He will. Every place we went, that city is the headquarters city of the world. You might say, what about the Vatican? What about the Catholic system? All that money and gold they've got. It's deposited in New York. Oh, and incidentally, when they talk about money leaving the country, you know, the gold leaving the country, they don't load up shiploads of it and send it off. It stays in New York. You look on any street in the financial district, Bank of Portugal, Bank of Spain, Bank of Germany, Bank of this, Bank of Russia, all these different banks, and they're all connected by tunnels. So if they're going to make a shipment of gold out of one bank to another, they just wheel it in carts through the tunnel into the next bank, and it's left the country. Because those buildings are not part of the United States. They are consular areas, they are banks, they are separate little areas. They're in the United States, but they're separate. Oh, you wouldn't believe the things that go on. We stood out there in front of the Bank of New York, Rockefeller's elite bank. Now, they have other entrances where regular customers can go in, but the main entrance is for the elite heads of countries that come in and borrow hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, that's not me. But we stood out there just kind of looking stupid, you know, like tourists. And this guy motioned, come in, come on in. Does he mean me, you know? Kind of look around. I thought he meant Arnie because Arnie's loaded, you know. But but anyway, he motioned for us to come in, so we went in. Anybody needs a loan, see Arnie. But he'll get me now. But we went inside there, and We looked up and it was amazing. There was gold leaf. Gold leaf. All over the whole ceiling, down the sides of the walls. Gold. I wouldn't even want to guess how much that was worth. And they had guards in there and all kinds of things. But he let us come into the lobby and actually in that area that people generally don't go in and let us look around. And I was just amazed by that. But the Lord led us every step of the way. And there's a lot more to tell, but I already told a lot of it. And if you want more information, you can get it on the tapes or read the upcoming newsletters. But it was an amazing thing, what the things that we encountered. It showed us that the last days are upon us. You talk about a confusing city. Confusion, confusion everywhere. And remember the Tower of Babel? There were a lot of Towers of Babel in New York. And there was a lot of confusion in New York. And outside of that special city, which calls itself the capital of the whole world, there is their form of an angel, a harlot that stands as the gateway of that city, called the Statue of Liberty, holding the torch of illuminism and pointing directly toward the boroughs of Manhattan and Queens. And, well, I suppose you can include Brooklyn in that. It's amazing to see that it just hit me, the scripture hit me. That's the devil's counterfeit. That is the devil's wicked, evil Garden of Eden, so to speak. In reverse. Let's continue on in the scripture. Verse 9 says, "Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry." I'm on verse 9, by the way. "They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink." Well, then they're drunk on something else. We already read that they're in the occult. Occultism is everywhere. Get wicked in New York, right? "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee." Now bear in mind, you're going to a man who is learned. Somebody who really knows his stuff, an expert. Right? You tell him to read it. "Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed." The expert says, "I can't read it, it's sealed." "And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned." Take the book of Revelation and talk to most preachers about it. Huh? They'll say, "It's sealed. You can't know it, it's sealed, it's sealed." The experts say it's sealed. The book itself says it's open. They don't want to deal with it. If they would deal with it, it would incriminate what they're doing in their system. Amen. When I had that radio broadcast on, there's a Lutheran church in town, your first Lutheran church. And that pastor was one of those. I heard him one time on the radio. He said, "The book of Revelation is sealed. It can't be understood." I got on the radio the next week and I said, "That man is a modern day Judas Iscariot." And I called him by name. I said, and he ought to be ashamed of himself because he knows better. The next week, in response, he read, without comment, one chapter of Revelation. Just so they could say, "Yeah, see, we're in there. We did it." Just the week before he said it's sealed, the next week he reads a chapter, or the second week after, reads a chapter. If it's sealed, why is he messing with it? You know, he incriminated himself. He should have stuck to his position and not touched it. Expert saying, you know what an expert is, don't you? An ex is a has-been, and a spurt is a drip under pressure. And it's exactly what these guys are. And, at the center of theology, we were told you can't understand this. And so they maintain that position. We don't know. It is sealed. And then the people who are unlearned, here, read this. Let me tell you about this. Duh. Huh? I'm not learned. Don't mind me. I'm just ignorant, you know? So you can't win. You go from one, you go to the other. But every so often, the Lord pulls somebody out and reveal his word to them. That's what it takes, really. But what he's saying is it's one excuse from one end of the spectrum to the other. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." I've seen people like that, they have a fear. They live in religious fear. There are a lot of Catholic people that are like that, but other churches as well. And they're afraid. They're kept in fear. They're bound to that system by fear. Oh, if I leave it, I'll go to hell. If I leave it, I'll never get out of purgatory. If I leave, you know, whatever the situation may be. "Their fear toward me," the Lord said, "is taught by the precept of men," and that is not right. We are to have a fear based on a respect for God, but not be terrified of him and frightened of him. He's on our side, not on our back. Amen. He's with us. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He's proved that time and again. But religions hold people by fear. They're shackled. They're bound to the religious system. There's no difference between that and the occult, except the names are different of the deities that they're worshiping. You talk about bondage. When we went in the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, you could hardly breathe in there. Not because there wasn't air. It was so big it looked like you could fly an airplane in it. It's the third biggest cathedral in the world, Episcopal Cathedral. They have scaffolding going all the way up the sides of the big tower in the front. I have read numerous reports, I've studied this for years, that they are installing equipment on the top of that building that will interface with the satellites that our recent space shuttles have put up there to bring down a three-dimensional holographic image of what is supposed to be Jesus Christ descending from above to the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. How do you like them apples? Huh? And we went there, and they had that scaffolding all the way around. And we talked to people. How long has that scaffolding been up there? When are they going to... He said, they're putting more rocks up there. You know, more stones up there. More stones? When are they going to finish it off? Oh, I don't know, when they get more money. There's all these excuses of what they're doing up there, and they've got an awful lot of equipment, and it doesn't just look like... Well, let me be careful how I word this. Doesn't just look like masonry equipment. So I wouldn't put it past them to try such a silly thing. They've got computer technology that's amazing. But I will tell you this, it is no problem at all for the Lord to reformat their hard drive. Amen. He goes on and says, "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." Did you ever listen to these experts talk and they don't make sense to you anymore? It's because God's redeemed you. These men are supposed to be so great and have all the answers, are talking nonsense and foolishness and really talking stupid. And you can catch it. And it doesn't take you in. Do you ever wonder why? The Lord's confusing them. They can't even get along with each other. "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. And boy, they've turned things upside down, haven't they? For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? You know, they have been busy for a long time doing things in the dark, doing things in secret. What is the Lord saying? Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel. There's only one reason for secrecy in the Word of God. The Word of God tells us of only one reason for secrecy: to hide evil. They've done this for ages. You know, I just jotted this down. I thought this was a little interesting, just to show you what's going on. The way that they use, the Masons use the number 33, and the way the witches use number 13 in all these different places, you see this popping up all over, and it's not coincidental. Remember the Kennedy assassination on November 22nd? Well, this happens to be the 33rd anniversary of JFK's death. How many remember when it happened? How many remember where they were when it happened? I was in an eighth grade classroom right after Phi Ed came upstairs and heard the news. And I went out and delivered newspapers. I was a very ambitious young man. I had two paper routes, one in the morning, one at night. And I remember it specifically and the details of it. It was a big deal, wasn't it? But this is the 33rd anniversary of his death. I'm kind of looking for something to happen, because that's the big Masonic number. Now, the date 1122 in numerology becomes 33. If you advance forward, 11 plus 22 is 33. And when he was killed in where? Dallas, Texas, which happens to be, if you check your map, your atlas, it's on the 33rd parallel, right? Now, he was killed on Dealey Plaza, remember? Dealey Plaza, which is the area of the first of Dallas's first Masonic temple. That number 33 was involved a lot, wasn't it? We could go on with all kinds of things involving 33, showing the Masons are behind it, the conspiracy of the Illuminists are behind it. Remember the Olympics in Atlanta? We just had those. Atlanta, Georgia is on the 33rd parallel. Remember the Republican National Convention in San Diego? San Diego is on the 33rd parallel. In addition to that, the Hotel San Francisco in San Diego was the site of the convention, and the Republicans rented the entire 33rd floor of that hotel. Bob Dole and Jack Kemp are both 33rd degree Masons in the Scottish Rite. Bill Clinton's hometown of Hope, Arkansas, is on the 33rd parallel. If you think all of this is just coincidence, I urge you to rethink your position. They have a plan and an agenda. They're doing things secretly. They think they're going to make great advances, but thank God we're not a part of any of that. And all that they're doing doesn't amount to a hill of beans as far as causing any interruption with God's plan. Ruth?
Criminal.
No, conspiracy shouldn't be a very difficult thing for us to ascertain or understand, because it's the way of man, of unregenerated man. There are people out there conspiring all the time. And what is the ultimate, really? It's the devil's behind it. Because he's the one who wants the new age, the one world, the whole new system. I've got news for you and for the whole world. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and interrupt their plans completely. I don't know when, but I can't wait. Because they have built this up over the years. They're at full throttle right now. They think they've really got something, but they're living in that dream. Remember, like the people that eat but wake up and it isn't there? Huh? When that day comes and the heavens are rent apart and roll away as a great scroll and the power of God is manifest, you will find a people in shock. This world will be in shock because they will have a rude awakening. As far as you and I, as Christians, by the grace of God, that's the day we're looking for. Because that's our deliverance, and all this nonsense and foolishness will end. How close are we to it? All I can say is very close. Because the Lord gave us signs to watch for, and he gave them to us for a reason. He gave us signs, and then he said, watch and pray. If you're watching, and you're praying, and you're tuned in to the Spirit of God, you won't be deceived. The Bible says, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But the elect of God, the people of God, need to be hearing from their Lord. And you won't be deceived. That day is coming quickly. I'm looking for, nothing surprises me anymore. I'm a little amazed at times about certain things. But never shocked. Because I don't put anything past them. There is an enemy. There are a people of that enemy. But the Lord is with us always, even to the end of the world. Stand with me if you would. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with a prayer and then with a chorus and then we'll be dismissed. So thankful you all came today. I hope something was said here that would encourage you and make you stronger. Something you can hang on to. I hope you will believe in the Lord and have faith in him and just let him guide you every step of the way and you'll get through whatever you're going through. Amen. Do you believe that? Hang in there. Give God the glory. Everything will work out. There's a God in heaven. He's very conscious of what's going on. He doesn't have to be awakened. He's awake. He doesn't have to be aroused. He's very present in our lives. He knows. If there's a problem somewhere, the problem's got to be with us. And that problem will end. And will cease when our faith is complete in him. Amen. Father in heaven, we are so thankful today that thou hast brought all of these people here to hear thy word and that we could sing and pray together. And I pray now that thou wouldst help us as we go our separate ways, that thou wouldst guide us and direct us. We pray for thy protection, for thy blessing. And we pray that we would be a faithful and true people for thee that would do thy will. Lord, let every unclean spirit be rebuked and cast out and bound, that the enemy would have no power over us. But Lord, that we would be thy children in thought, word, deed, and truth. We pray for thy direction. Let thy will be done and let thy name be exalted. Let thy word always have preeminence in our hearts. Help us to follow thee in spirit and truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's close with a chorus and then we'll be dismissed.